set. Okay, it's just after 10 o'clock here in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room. This is, and it's September 2nd, 2011. We have before us case number PU-09-670, which is the Minn Kota Power Cooperative 345 KV Transmission Line Center to Grand Forks. We're getting started a little late, but we've got all the paperwork now distributed, and so we can get moving on it. We're holding a work session to discuss the pending siting application. For anyone who may be listening in or for the record that we're creating, we should probably identify ourselves. This is Tony Clark, and I'll ask my fellow commissioners for opening comments and introduce themselves, and then we'll go around the table.
Kevin Kramer, good morning, and just thanks to Jerry and to all the parties for getting the draft to us yesterday. It was very helpful to be able to read through yesterday.
Good morning, Brian Kulk. Same comments as well. A lot of information to cover in this hearing.
Thanks. And from staff?
Jerry Lynn with staff.
Matt Sagsveen, Assistant Attorney General.
Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, staff.
Patrick Fawn, staff.
All right, very good. And we have a number of other folks who are listening in as well. This is a work session, and the purpose of work sessions is to allow the commission to discuss amongst itself pending matters before it. Typically, we don't address outside questions or seek outside input, although from time to time there may be a specific question that we may direct to someone who's in the audience. With that, who wants to take the lead on describing recent developments? We have a proposed findings of, or draft, I guess, findings of fact, conclusions of law and order. We've received some information recently, which will probably need to be noticed. It sounded like from emails sent around. Is that right or not? Or
in theory, yes, but they've waived their right to notice.
Okay.
So I think.
All right. So why don't we just have staff kind of get us
done.
Up to speed on what's going on?
Commissioner Clark and members of the commission, 2 or 3 days ago, the State Land Department submitted additional information to the Public Service Commission requesting that the corridor be changed in two locations. Upon consultation with the applicant, who is the only other party to this proceeding, the applicant has agreed to waive any procedural opportunities to cross-examine members, any person who would present this testimony with respect to the land department. So under 28.32.25 of the Century Code, the Public Service Commission could consider information not presented at a hearing the law requires that the agency must afford each party upon written request an opportunity to examine the information or evidence and to present its own information or evidence and to cross-examine the person furnishing the information or evidence. The applicant has provided some information in a letter to the commission dated September 2nd, 2011, which has not yet, it's been filed but not yet been docketed. And in that letter, the applicant indicates that it waives any right it may have under Section 28.32.25 to formal notice of an opportunity to cross-examine the State Land Department regarding its August 30th filing. And in its September 2nd, 2011 letter, it has the applicant has included an affidavit from Terry Fasteen and maps indicating the corridor change or how the land department's recommendation would affect the proposed corridor. And it appears that after some consultation that we don't have any problems with that, or there are no problems. So that's the first part of the information that we need to address. And so I guess as far as the commission is concerned, do we need some positive decision from the commission to accept the land department's proposal for corridor change, Alana?
I think that can be in the order. But I think maybe we also have to imply that, like this affidavit that's in this filing, that the applicant is also asking to put in some after-acquired evidence. But that
can be... And I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
I'm just talking about...
But I think you can put it in the order because you don't have to issue a notice.
Okay.
If you think
Do we
that's
need
right.
something from the commission to accept the after-filed evidence?
No, I guess what I'm saying is in the order you'd say we're considering it, We didn't have a notice because they waived it or something like that.
Before we get too much into the procedure, can we just go over what the proposed changes are that are being made, and are they still on land, school trust land or state land? Or they
does it satisfy the land?
Does this move it to private landowners, or how does it?
They're very small changes.
Yeah.
The first change I want to talk about is in Grand Forks County.
Okay.
You want a color map?
This be we use the maps.
That little prairie area.
Well, you move the maps. Use the maps that are were just handed out. Is it on there?
Yeah.
I'm guessing Exhibit 12J.
Yes. After, right where the proposed Minn Kota line heads north or jogs north off of the WAPA line, the State Land Department was concerned with a tract of land in the northeast quarter of Section 36 in Township 151, Range 52 West. And the Land Department recommended that at least within that section, the corridor be adjusted so that it's on the west half of Section 36, because the northeast quarter of Section 36 is a native prairie. And I believe the Land Department owns three parcels in that section.
The Land Department did own the west half of 36.
Yes.
The corridor expansion, however, runs through those four sections there,
right.
Five sections, and I don't know if there's any new landowners affected or not.
Well, I think the Land Department's only proposal was to make the adjustment of the corridor within that area. The proposed corridor change that we see, I believe, is the entire north-south length of that corridor.
Well, yeah, once they make that little adjustment, they might as well stick with the quarter section line and go all the way north, I guess.
I think that's what it looks like,
At least for the corridor.
Well, but this, no, actually, this map is slightly misleading because the Land Department wants it to be on the west half of
I was going to ask because it doesn't look like it gets
it gets
far west.
Halfway.
It's about
the
right.
I've spoken with counsel for the applicant, and that adjustment has been made, and the map that's docketed and filed will reflect that.
Okay.
So it'll be a wider corridor there. And that wider corridor provides the flexibility they need to avoid the land.
Move into the 36, the west half.
And let's remember, we're not making a route decision.
Right.
We can
start. Right.
As long as the corridor is on the west half of Section 36, I think the land department is okay.
Okay.
And
it would appear to me the route's still going to have to go back to the east before it gets that late.
So that's the land department's. While you're looking at it, there's another change on that same section there. They want to widen, or on that, as you turn and go east there.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Minn Kota's proposed?
Yeah, Minn Kota is proposing that.
Let's not talk about that yet, Jerry.
Okay.
Well, I guess we can figure this all when we get to the routing of it. But as I recall, a lot of this is native prairie out there, and you may just be shoving it onto another piece of native prairie, somewhere else in that may be on a private land, right? Is that possible?
Yes, the Land Department, of course, has a unique status with respect to some of its resources, and they are as they pointed out in their
only
letter.
Their only status is legal status, right? Yeah. I mean,
their main status it seems to me is that their land can't be condemned,
right?
Yeah,
whereas everyone else's can.
So are they going to, Matt? Did they have any justification why they didn't weigh in until so much later? And are they going to weigh in on the NEPA process?
They were busy with oil work, it looks like, in their letter.
That was the only excuse I had.
Well, but
I've talked with them too.
I'm sure you had discussion between you guys.
And they were late with this. They didn't realize that the process was as far along as it was, and they're not used to our combined corridor or our separate corridor and routes. And
did they say anything about following additional comments with other federal agencies?
I didn't hear anything from them in that regards.
Interesting. Because we're still stuck in this quandary of this is an area that's protected, but it's not protected.
Yeah, they were concerned about the, they call it tall grass prairie on that section that's unique. And
it's not saline tall grass prairie.
Yeah, it's
area.
Different. It's saline in the western half.
It's different tall grass prairie.
But it is, and so it's they place different values than what we heard in the hearing on the saline.
Exactly.
So they'd rather see it in the saline area than in the tall grass prairie.
Fair enough.
All right. Should we move to the next change?
The other change was, I believe, in Sheridan County.
12C.
And you're going to come back to Jerry's change he wanted to talk about?
Well, then we're going to circle back to a couple additional proposals from Minn Kota.
Okay.
Jerry, do you have them?
So let's go to 12C, which is the corridor expansion, 1,500 feet to the northwest, it looks like.
Commissioner Clark, the State Land Department has indicated in a map that there are some aggregate deposits that the proposed corridor crosses, and they've suggested that the corridor be routed or shifted to the north. And I don't recall, the map I'm looking at doesn't, is it in section 18 that the...
I circled it, hold on.
Yes, they're in.
Primarily 18.85. With portions of 4 and 13.
I think it was about 1,000 or 1,500 foot shift to the north that they were looking for.
1,500.
In the information that I've received from Minn Kota, the map, the proposed map on 12C appears to accommodate that request.
Doesn't impact any houses, it doesn't look like.
It does move it quite close to that other transmission line, which may be something we need to talk about in the when you get to routing. I don't know what it would mean for any agricultural operations around there.
That's a good point, because I believe there's some testimony of some unwillingness to cross a line twice. And
yeah, exactly.
You might have to adjust. I mean, you see what they're talking about?
Right.
Yeah, but I think they stay on this
side. And their applicant will deal with it on routing.
Yeah. Okay.
Walk me through that again, though, about the, there's some proposals to expand the corridor. How sure are we there's no new landowners? And if there are, can we address that during the actual routing? Because they may not end up over there. I mean, how do we tackle that one? And that was a big discussion we had the first time around.
First of all, we're not legally obligated to. That's the first thing. Because we do, I think we established that we have broad enough authority to alter the corridor from the proposal. But that doesn't change the moral dilemma.
Well, if
dilemma.
It's new people's land.
Right.
It would just be nice to know if there's new landowners involved, I guess is my point.
Yeah.
And if there are, then so be it. Then at least we know. And
Have we
done that kind of review yet?
We'd have to ask the company for that input.
No, when we didn't do that for the other changes that were made by the commission either.
Right.
Commissioner Clark, members of the commission, as we previously discussed, the commission has some level of discretion to manage the corridor as it's proposed, and the notice was for a 1,000-foot corridor when the regulatory requirements are for a much wider corridor. And the notice that goes out doesn't provide an exact legal description, as it primarily describes a line on a map.
So the reality is chances people would have been interested would have showed up at the first hearing.
Well, that's the hope, I think, of the whole process.
Okay. Thanks again.
You know what, Brian, you do raise, I mean, in the route process, when it comes down to, okay, now we have a wider corridor, we've now gone from state land to private citizens' land. What, you know.
Well, I think it's a broader discussion the three of us have to have about how we're going to approach the new law and how we're doing some of these things. It's just, we got to schedule something like that down the road. Because we've done so many of these all at the same time, we kind of handle all these issues at once. When we do it apart like this, it's actually better, I think, but it brings up a lot of other issues. So,
Commissioner Clark, members of the commission, I believe that the land department's requested modification for the aggregate issue pushes it to the northwest on its own property just in that area. Mm-hmm. Now, the corridor there may have to be adjustments outside of that to accommodate that, but I believe both of the land department's requests are on its own land. Okay. So unless the commission has any additional questions, I can...
Is 12A, is that a separate change where they're just adding a little bit there near the substation?
The change to 12A has been proposed by Minn Kota, and Minn Kota has also, in their information that they filed in their September 2nd letter, there's a change in 12A and I believe in 12J. In 12A, the adjustment is at the center substation to, as the letter indicates, to keep more of that area on its own property, on Minn Kota's own property. The anticipated right-of-way location will be shifted so that it is located more on Minn Kota's parcel than on the adjacent landowner's parcel, in accordance with the adjacent landowner's request.
All right.
And I think in 12J, Jerry, do you recall what the modification was for in 12J?
It widened the corridor.
The east side of 14th Street, is that the one?
Yep. Further south and...
Yeah, but it was to... there was a landowner there that they were trying to accommodate as well.
The red dot, perhaps?
Let me see here. Oh, I gave them to you, and no wonder I can't find them.
I think this is makes a lot easier what they did here.
Commissioner Clark, in the Minn Kota's September 2nd letter, they indicate that certain landowners have requested the project follow the quarter section line so as to minimize impacts to farming. So Minn Kota has proposed to extend the corridor south to the quarter section line in Section 13 and in Sections 14 through 18 and a portion of Section 13 in the Brenna Township. And that information is summarized and attached to the affidavit of Mr. Terry Fasteen. And I believe that this evidence or the information provided by Minn Kota would also be considered under 2832-25, and since they're the only party, there are no other parties to notify or to present this information to, I think the commission can consider it within the context of its order and its ultimate adjustment.
And that's fine with me.
Yeah.
No, I like this. This is very helpful. Okay. Very good.
All right. Do we need to then pivot to discuss the draft itself?
Sure could.
Okay.
I had a few questions on it, but it looked.
Okay.
Oh, did you want to collect these right now?
You can just put stickers on.
For docketing? Oh, we've got stickers.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, Patrick.
Judge.
Pretty sure I'm incapable of putting it on exactly right. So, could I?
Oh, but I don't know.
Training. That's what we call cross training.
Oh, what am I sticking them on?
OJT even.
Affidavit of.
So when did we invest in these?
They showed up about a month and a half ago.
That's got to be a Scott Sheldon thing.
It's like those pens that showed up in my desk.
Now he's made us a promotional agency. A status, by the way, I had never aspired to. I've had two of them, and it's nothing but trouble. And given the, until we have a new state's attorney, I'm not sure I know what to make things.
You know, it's funny, the issue of state land hasn't come up in any of our hearings before that I've been at. I suppose they just kind of leave them be from the very beginning. And
there will be more.
Yeah, I bet there are, because there's probably some prime land out there for stuff.
I thought we'd hear more from them when we were citing some of the wind farms.
That's what exactly it, because they're sitting right in some prime property.
And Coda didn't make that request.
Okay. Are we waiting for anything? Or
I don't think so. I think
we're ready to go. Let's move to the draft.
At the commission's request.
Should we just go through it page by page?
No, they made those on their own, and we asked for more.
Are there any?
I suppose.
I think that's right.
I had a couple notes, but that was about
the way it's written.
Ready, Jerry?
Sure.
All right, page one, all preliminary stuff. Any comments?
Okay. And so I left this in from the proposed order in red line format. And
two more, just preliminary statement, and most of page.
The only question, I did have a question on page two, though.
Okay. Sure.
The 1, 2, 3, the fourth paragraph down. March 18th, they submitted a letter regarding a slight modification. Is that different than, how is that different than the next page three? It looks like, is that the same modification submitted, or is there something submitted March 18th and something submitted June 9th, or are you just reaffirming what you submitted before?
The March 18th was an early change in the corridor before we have any of the hearings or anything.
Right.
And they did file this change here. The stuff that was filed in June, that was filed as a result of the comments that we were getting at the hearing.
So could you just put something in there that delineates that they're different? And maybe it does that. I just didn't read it that way. But
I think it does.
It says two slight corridor modifications, and in the first one it says the same kind of thing.
It's placement after the notice issues, I guess, sort of implies it, I suppose.
It specifies here that it's in Painted Woods Township.
But I think that's what Brian's point is, isn't it, Brian? That
Painted Woods Township, Burley County, Painted Woods Township.
You just don't want to confuse the two.
Just something that would identify that. And you're right about the time thing, but I thought, well, is this just...
I don't know either if it's... That's the only...
You could just put further. Minn Kota filed a letter with maps depicting two further slight corridors.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I think that... your point's right. I mean, it's a...
Is it the same change?
300-mile line with, two changes in the same little place.
Just put further.
Should be.
Where
is? In the second one.
The second part.
In the second part. Just Minn Kota filed a letter with maps depicting two further slight corridor modifications.
On page three.
Okay.
That would be it. Thank you, sir.
We don't want to trip up some young law student studying this last one.
In the middle of page three, do we need to have I either? That is to say, the affidavit. On June 30th, 2011, Minn Kota submitted late filed exhibit. That is to say, the affidavit of. I mean, can't you just get rid of that?
Where are you at now, Tony?
It's like smack dab in the middle of that large paragraph in the middle of page 3.
The IE.
And
submitted late filed exhibit, the affidavit of Terry Fasteen dated 2011.
Delete that whole line?
No, just delete IE.
IE.
It doesn't serve any purpose there.
Okay.
Makes it look intelligent, though.
Ipso facto. Inter lia. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, anything else on page 3? Page 4.
I do like the efficiency. It's gaining.
Page 5.
Is there a difference between stated and testified on, like, paragraph 9 when we say Minn Kota stated, Minn Kota testified? Is that a difference at all? That's just happy to glad.
States probably covers testified. They could have stated it in the application or in the testimony, I think. That's a legal question, though.
It's just more because a lot of the following language that, you know, they had folks say testify that this is the way it is. Does that have a different significance if it's ever challenged in some of these areas? Because there's a lot of things that they talked about that, and it's not a big deal. I just had a question on it.
I think testified probably works if you'd rather see that.
If you'd like to have the language be
consistent,
we can use one or the other.
Maybe that's what
we
need to do.
Your intent is to identify where it's the order is based on testimony versus information in the record, then we can try to ferret that out.
Maybe that's the question.
I do like the differentiation between
exactly.
testimony and other documents that are part of the record.
Right. That's
but I don't know that that's the differentiation.
But it's probably not accurate to say to use one word to describe all of it because not all of it.
That would be my thought, yeah. I would agree. But
I'll let you guys wordsmith that.
At the end of the day, it may not matter at all.
Jerry will go through all of the record. And
so testify would be actual presentations at the hearing.
Testimony versus
maybe asserts would be.
Or states would be. Maybe it's in the application or some other part of the record.
It probably is in
it's
the application
evidence.
And in the testimony.
Both. I mean, the application
is evidence. It's not
evidence at the hearing, so it.
A
distinction.
Well, so is testimony and the exhibits are all evidence. So we could simply say the evidence provided.
I just brought it up because sometimes I see testified and sometimes I see stated that.
I probably used to identify a contrast in the flow of the order, but technically, my law professor always told me not to use the word stated if I was describing something that was done in writing because it wasn't stated, it was written. And the applicant would have provided that information. So we can try to go in and wordsmith that.
That's the appropriate differentiation, though. That's
Minn Kota provided that it.
Okay.
Whatever.
anything else on page 5? Page 6? Page 7. Page 8.
I had a general question for the two of you gentlemen on others on page 9. You know, there's a lot of discussion back and forth where they had the expert testimony coming in saying this is what they basically put out their piece and there was nobody to counter it. So we just accept all that as fact, if you will. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, is that just how it works out, right? Is there any any way to delineate, I guess? That was what I was thinking about testimony, is that I guess it's all the same legally, is that if somebody testifies that this is number one is one, and you got a piece of paper that says one is one, it's still the same thing. And one has no more weight than the other. See where I'm going with that? If you get challenged, the data that shows one is one, to me, it would have more.
But somebody that testifies to as an expert that isn't as an expert that you know not to be true, or we are also experts. I guess that's the counter to just relying solely on what somebody testifies to is countered by the fact that we're experts. Am I stating that properly? So that if there was some technical thing like they testify that, you know, there's no such thing as EMF or it has no impact, but we know that it does, that doesn't mean we just have to accept that because no one else testified again that it didn't.
Maybe that's what it was. There's a lot of language in here that just said we accept everything the way as it is. Uh-huh. And I don't know that I disagree with that, but I just wanted to talk through some of the... I guess I don't like when all the testimony comes through and then you get a draft order and includes everything just exactly the way that they wanted it to be said. And if we put enough scrutiny on some of that stuff. And if we have, then so be it.
Well, Commissioner Clark, members of the commission, what we could indicate is that when referencing testimony, the following testimony was undisputed or there was no opposing testimony. But I think you're correct in stating that the order speaks from the position of these are facts, these are evidence,
mm-hmm.
and the information contained herein is it's fact and it's evidence, and the intent of the order is not to draw maybe confusion about whether or not it is or is not true, because it has been accepted under oath in a hearing. I don't know that you'd want to, in the order, draw a further question to whether or not it's reliable or...
It's not so much about the EMF. I was just thinking about that whole discussion about the salt flats area. You got all this testimony saying lots of different things. And so you get to where we fall out at, I think, is that we do the best we can, but there's nothing specific that says we're going to change the route around it. How do you address all that kind of testimony?
I think there is one paragraph.
There is, but I read through it, and I didn't know that I didn't know the right way to say that. Do you bring out the fact that there was testimony on both different sides, or do you just bring out that this is the thing that we feel most comfortable with and reinforce that? Yeah, I know.
Clark, members of the commission, I think that it depends on how much you as the commission, want to incorporate public commentary
into
the order, because I think every person that testified didn't want that power line in their backyard. And so the testimony in Grand Forks County was to one area, whereas all of the other people that testified had their own specific areas. So I think if you want to talk about a Grand Forks County, you could just as easily talk about every specific section where you receive public commentary. But unless, of course, you want to just talk about Native Prairie in the context of the order, maybe not specifically.
Well, I just think about just talking, the first time the three of us can talk like this is that you get testimony that one guy testifies that it throws off the GPS in his tractor, and the next fellow testifies that there's no way that happens. So in here we say that we agree with the version that says it doesn't affect anything.
Commissioner Clark, members of the commission, the rules and statutes reflect the fact that the commission gives weight to experts and to documentary type evidence. For instance, if someone landowner came in and said, I know this land is just great for irrigation, I believe the rules and the law require that they provide some documentary evidence that they've gone through a study. And similarly, if you believe your cattle and will suffer, or your the birth rates on will suffer from proximity to EMF, I think the rules and the laws require that you provide some documentary evidence, and the commission will give it its appropriate weight. And if it's unopposed, it's likely that the commission will give it some weight. If it's opposed, then it's up to the commission then, of course, to balance out each side of the testimony. And I think you're pointing out one of the difficult jobs of being a decision maker, and that's balancing the weight of the evidence.
I'm comfortable with the way this is all written, but it's just, are we doing the right things so we know how we got to that conclusion? Like you just said, these are expert folks. They put testimony in there. They've got evidence that follows through it.
On, I don't know if this is exactly the same issue or not, but on page 10, paragraph 27, I'd like a little bit more meat behind our reasoning here.
See, that's exactly...
It's not so much expert testimony, but it's the idea that, for example, why not? Well, not an avoidance area, the witness has testified that it's home to many unique species of wildlife.
Why does this get more standing than the tractor does?
Well, I guess I don't mind that we specifically highlight the Grand Forks issue, but I would put a little bit more around why there's just a statement that there's no reasonable alternative. And I think that we can list three or four reasons why there's not a reasonable alternative. One is avoidance of homes, which is probably the big one. Two would be that there's a preference given to prime farmland in the, is it in the statute or is it just the rules? But it's a prime farmland issue. It mentions the existing 230 kV, but I guess it would be just a little bit more about why there's not a reasonable alternative. And I think that's easy enough to establish.
Yeah, I think that's...
Okay. So I've got avoidance of homes and avoid prime farmland.
And, right. And just reference the fact that those are both actually specifically designated as things the commission is to consider, whereas I don't know if it makes sense to highlight...
Well, that'll do.
Something that also weighs on me is, well, you had a group of interested people who testified as to the uniqueness of the area. We didn't get anything from Parks and Rec, North Dakota Wildlife, North Dakota Game and Fish, Fish and Wildlife. Sort of other expert agencies didn't.
It had no special significance in the NEPA review. It had no more weight there.
Many of those agencies, Commissioner Clark, provided commentary in that was included in the application. And then it was their hope that the ultimate proposed corridor would accommodate those changes and requests.
But did they comment specifically to the saline flats? Game and Fish or Parks?
And maybe that just... The absence of them commenting on it just speaks for itself, and you don't need to mention it. But I do think we need to indicate why we don't believe there's a reasonable alternative.
I think that's a good point. It's the main point, frankly, of why we did do it. Otherwise,
yeah, I mean, if there weren't homes or prime farmland issues, frankly, I'd rather have it go around it.
Commissioner Clark, if I might just draw your attention to one page previous on page 9. In paragraph 26, in the second sentence, where it says, as a result, Minn Kota requested to widen its proposed 1,000-foot corridor width in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be more appropriate to say, as a result, Minn Kota
agreed to
widen its proposed.
Yeah.
Okay, see that. Yeah.
It shows that there was testimony, then that they agreed to change it. That's
right.
Yep.
I cross checked those specific widenings as well to make with the maps.
Okay.
Wanted to slip through.
Anything else on page 10?
I think so.
Page 11. All right. I didn't see it. Is there anything else that we should talk about? We've got a few things to tweak on this. As far as timing, are we looking at the 7th, or were we?
It is on, yeah. And as far as the order goes, I can have it together. I think we can have it together in time.
Well, by the way, good job on the order. I assume you did. I mean, this
very
is
very good product.
You know, as complicated as this one was, to be able to do it this efficiently and it's very helpful.
Yeah, we had help.
Yeah, no, I know. I believe me.
80 megawatt wind farms that are this thick.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's very helpful.
Okay, well, see how far you can get, and hopefully we can vote on it on the 7th.
So are we forgetting anything?
No, Commissioner Clark, members of the commission, I won't be able to attend the 7th meeting. I've got to be involved in a deposition that day, so...
we should be okay.
Yeah, Jerry has any questions.
We'll take it from here.
Yeah, we'll run with it now.
So Jerry, just in general time frames, do you have any idea how this will all play out now?
We'll vote on Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, we'll vote on Wednesday, and so, I mean... How quick are we going to be scheduling our route hearings?
Yeah, I expect that they'll have a route hearing pretty soon after that.
Is it worthwhile to put that on scheduling on Wednesday, given the schedule the three of us have? Just a question to ask, maybe. The sooner we get started.
The hearing?
Yeah, if they know.
We don't have Molly that says no, they wouldn't
okay.
have it just yet.
Yeah, let's wait on the app.
All right. Because we'll do the same bat time, same thing, three hearings, right?
Except the weather probably won't be as nice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's for the quarter. Yeah. We're looking at winter hearings.